John Cleland, Fanny Hill, or the Memoir of a Woman of Pleasure.
Marta Fichel, Dariusz Jemielniak, Marcin Jarzyński, Grzegorz Komerski. Wspomnienia kurtyzany w wersji do nauki angielskiego. Poltekst 2018.
Part 1. Letter the First. I sit down to give you an undeniable proof of my considering your desires as indispensable orders. Ungracious, then, as the task may be, I shall recall to view those scandalous stages of my life out of which I emerged, at length, to the enjoyment of every blessing in the power of love, health and fortune to bestow. Whilst yet in the flower of youth, and not too late to employ the leisure afforded me by great ease and affluence, to cultivate an understanding, naturally not a despicable one, and which had, even amidst the whirl of loose pleasures I had been tossed in, exerted more observation on the characters and manners of the world than what is common to those of my unhappy profession, who, looking on all though or reflection as their capital enemy, keep it at as great a distance as they can, or destroy it without mercy. Hating, as I mortally do, all long unnecessary prefaces, I shall give you good quarter in this, and use no farther apology than to prepare you for seeing the loose part of my life, written with the same liberty that I led it. Truth, stark, naked truth is the word, and I will not so much as take the pains to bestow the strip of a gauze wrapper on it, but paint situations such as they actually rose to me in nature, careless of violating those laws of decency that were never made for such unreserved intimacies as ours. And you have too much sense, too much knowledge of the originals, to sniff prudishly and out of character at the pictures of them. The greatest men, those of the first and most leading taste, will not scruple adorning their private closets with nudities, though, in compliance with vulgar prejudices, they may not think them decent decorations of the staircase or salon. This, and enough premised, I go south into my personal history. My maiden name was Frances Hill. I was born at a small village near Liverpool in Lancashire, of parents extremely poor, and I piously believe extremely honest. My father, who had received a maim on his limbs that disabled him from following the more laborious branches of country drudgery, could by making nets a scanty subsistence, which was not much enlarged by my mother's keeping a little day school for the girls in her neighbourhood. They had had several children, but none lived to any age except myself, who had received from nature a constitution perfectly healthy. My education, till past 14, was no better than very vulgar. Reading, or rather spelling, an illegible scrawl, and a little ordinary plain work composed the whole system of it. And then all my foundation in virtue was no other than a total ignorance of vice, and the shy timidity general to our sex in the tender age of life, when objects alarm or frighten more by their novelty than anything else. But then, this is a fear too often cured at the expense of innocence, when Miss, by degrees, begins no longer to look on a man as a creature of prey that will eat her. My poor mother had divided her time so entirely between her scholars and her little domestic cares that she had spared very little to my instruction, having, from her own innocence, from all ill, no hint or thought of guarding me against any. I was now entering in my 15th year, when the worst of ills befell me in the loss of my fond, tender parents, who were both carried off by the smallpox within a few days of each other, my father dying first, and thereby by hastening the death of my mother, so that I was now left an unhappy, friendless orphan, for my father's coming to settle there was accidental, he being originally a Kentish man. That cruel distemper, which had proved so fatal to them, had indeed seized me, but with such mild and favourable symptoms that I was presently out of danger, and what then I did not know the value of, was entirely unmarked. I skip over here an account of the natural grief and affliction which I felt on this melancholy occasion. A little time and the giddiness of that age dissipated too soon my reflections on that irreparable loss, but nothing contributed more to reconcile me to it than the notions that were immediately put into my head of going to London and looking out for a service in which I was promised all assistance and advice from one Esther Davis, a young woman that had been down to see her friends, and who, after the stay of a few days, was returned to her place. As I had now nobody left alive in the village who had concern enough about what should become of me to start any objections to the scheme, and the woman who took care of me after my parents' death rather encouraged me to pursue it, I soon came to a resolution of making this launch into the wide world by repairing to London in order to seek my fortune, a phrase which, by the by, has ruined more adventurers of both sexes from the country than ever it made, or advanced. Nor did Esther Davis a little comfort and inspirit me to venture with her, by piquing my childish curiosity with the fine sights that were to be seen in London, the tombs, the lions, the king, the royal family, the fine plays and operas, and in short, all the diversions which fell within her sphere of life to come at. The detail of all which perfectly turned the little head of me. Nor can I remember without laughing the innocent admiration, not without a spice of envy, with which we, poor girls, whose church-going clothes did not rise above dowlas shifts and stuff gowns be placed with silver, all which we imagined grew in London, and entered for a great deal into my determination of trying to come in for my share of them. The idea, however, of having the company of a townswoman with her was that trivial, and all the motives that engaged Esther to take charge of me during my journey to town, where she taught me after the manner and style as how several maids out of the country had made themselves and all their kind for ever, that by preserving their virtue, some had taken so with their masters that they had married them, and kept them coaches, and lived vastly grand and happy. And some, mayhap, came to be duchesses. Luck was all, and why not I, as well as another? With other almanacs to this purpose, which set me a tiptoe to begin this promising journey, and to leave a place which, though my native one, contained no relations that I had reason to regret, and was grown insupportable to me from the change of the tenderest usage into a cold air of charity with which I was entertained, even at the only friend's house that I had the least expectation of care and protection from. She was, however, so just to me as to manage the turning into money the little matters that remained to me after the debts and burial charges were allowed for, and at my departure put my whole fortune into my hands, which consisted of a very slender wardrobe, packed up in a very portable box, and 8 guineas with 17 shillings in silver, stowed in a spring pouch, which was a greater treasure than I ever had seen together, and which I could not conceive there was a possibility of running out. And indeed, I was so entirely taken up with the joy of seeing myself mistress of such an immense sum that I gave very little attention to a word of good advice which was given me with it. Places, then, being taken for Esther and me in the Chester wagon, I pass over a very immaterial scene of leave-taking, at which I dropped a few tears betwixt grief and joy, and, for the same reasons of insignificance, skip over all that happened to me on the road, such as the wagoners looking licorice on me, the schemes laid for me by some of the passengers, which were defeated by the valiance of my guardian Esther, who, to do her justice, took motherly care of me, at the same time that she taxed me for the protection by making me bear all travelling charges, which I defrayed with the utmost cheerfulness, and thought myself much obliged to her into the bargain. She took indeed great care that we were not overrated or imposed on, as well as of managing as frugally as possible. Expensiveness was not her vice. It was pretty late in a summer evening when we reached the town in our slow conveyance, though drawn by 6 at length. As we passed through the greatest streets that led to our inn, the noise of the coaches, the hurry, the crowds of foot passengers, in short, the new scenery of the shops and houses, at once pleased and amazed me. But guess at my mortification and surprise when we came to the inn and our things were landed and delivered to us. One of my fellow traveller and protectress, Esther Davis, who had used me with the utmost tenderness during the journey, and prepared me by no preceding signs for the stunning blow I was to receive, when I say my only dependence and friend, in this strange place, all of a sudden assumed a strange and cool air towards me, as if she dreaded my becoming a burden to her. Instead, then, of proffering me the continuance of her assistance and good offices, which I relied upon, and never more wanted, she thought herself, it seems, abundantly acquitted of her engagements to me by having brought me safe to my journey's end, and seeing nothing in her procedure towards me but what natural and in order began to embrace me by the way of taking leave, whilst I was so confounded, so struck, that I had no spirit or sense enough so much as to mention my hopes or expectations from her experience and knowledge of the place she had brought me to.